ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट 2 कोनु राजन इंद्रियावान मुकुंदा चरणाभुजम् न भजते सर्वतो मृत्युर् उपाश्रियान अमोरत्तमय कोनु राजन इंद्रियवान मुकुंदा चरणं भुजं न भजेत सर्वतो मृत्युर् उपाश्यान अमरोत्तमः कोनु राजन इंद्रियवान मुकुंदा चरणाभुजम् न भजेत सर्वतो मृत्युर् उपाश्यान उपाश्यान अमर उत्तमः
Matajis. Ka, who, nu, indeed, Rajan, O king, Indriyavan, possessed of senses, Mukunda Charana Ambujam, the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda, Na Bhajet, would not worship, Sarvata Mrityuhu, being faced by death on all sides. Upashyam, worshipable.
Amara Uttama Hai, by the best of liberated personalities. Translation and the purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, my dear King, in the material world, the conditioned souls are confronted by death at every step of life. Therefore, who among the conditioned souls would not render service to the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda, who is worshipable even for the greatest of liberated souls? We are taking the third part of this purport. Sometimes a living being is able to understand the miserable result of materialistic sense gratification. Being frustrated by the pain and suffering of materialistic life and being ignorant of any superior life, he adopts to neo-Buddhist philosophy and seeks shelter in so-called nothingness. But there is no actual void within the kingdom of God. The desire to merge into nothingness is a reaction against material pain. It is not a tangible concept of the Supreme. For example, if I feel unbearable pain in my leg and the pain cannot be cured, I may finally agree to have my leg amputated. But it is far better to remove the pain and keep my leg. Similarly, because of false ego, we think, I am everything. I am the most important person. No one is as intelligent as me. Thinking in this way, we suffer constantly and experience intense anxiety. But as soon as we purify the ego by admitting that we are insignificant servants of Krishna, our ego will give us great pleasure. See, Krishna, the Lord of blissfully variegated spiritual sky, called Vaikuntha, is always absorbed in transcendental enjoyment. In fact, Sri Krishna is a reservoir of all pleasure. People absorbed in materialistic enjoyment are bound by the laws of omnipresent death. But if we endeavor instead to serve Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can immediately be connected to His Ladini Shakti or blissful potency. If we serve Krishna under the guidance of His authorized representative, the spiritual master, we can immediately get relief from material distress. Then we shall not yearn for nothing, but instead we shall be able to relish unlimited spiritual bliss in the service of the Supreme Lord. Sarvato Mrityuhu also indicates that birth and death occur on every planet in the universe. Therefore, our so-called space travel and cosmic consciousness are useless, since there is no eternal life anywhere within the material cosmos. In conclusion, to understand the futility of engaging in service of anything other than Krishna and to engage instead in serving that which is eternal and full of bliss is the highest possible development of intelligence. Although our present intelligence is narrow, being conditioned by the laws of nature, we can create unlimited good fortune for ourselves by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, learning to discriminate between that which is temporary and useless and that which is eternal and real. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaur Tvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu
दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
Hare Krishna. So this is the third part of this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter, second verse. And herein, in the verse is a wonderful question which has been asked. It is in a form of a question that who will not worship Mukunda? After knowing that this place is filled with mrityu sarvaha, everywhere there is mrityu, it's interesting that usually we use the word omnipresent for Krishna, but here in the purport it is used for death, the omnipresent death, which is also very interesting. The death is also all pervasive everywhere in the material world, of course. So the question is asked by Sukhdev Goswami. Very interesting. You know, sometimes if we want to really stress a point, then we make a point that this has to be done. That is one way of communicating that, well, this is important and you must do this because it is for your good. But another way of really communicating is, this is so important and you are saying, who will not do this? So it's not a question asking for a reply, but it's a question to make a statement. Sukhdev Goswami is not making a question to Parikshit Maharaj, well, who will not worship Mukunda? But he's making a statement that knowing the futility, the craziness of this material world, who will not worship Mukunda, who is the giver of liberation from everything? An appropriate word used is Mukunda. Mukunda is the Lord of giving liberation. Mukti. The Lord of liberation. So this statement is very interesting, and equally interesting is the purport by the empowered servants of Srila Prabhupada. So they beautifully analyze, who will not take shelter of Mukunda? So it's a question to make a statement. So all of us, being students of Srimad Bhagavatam, and Sukhdev Goswami Maharaj is again and again and again telling us the same, the main theme of Bhagavatam. The main theme why Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukhdev Goswami to speak, because he was about to die in 7 days. And he's saying that death is all around, and how much more was Parikshit Maharaj aware of this fact than, I mean, you can imagine, he is completely aware of the fact, because death for him was all around, because he just went, he just put a snake around, and there was the act of death for him. Because that apparently insignificant, not so conscious act was actually the cause of his death, because death is all pervasive, all present. I said, having knowing the fact that the material world, there is death all around, who will not worship Mukunda? So this is very, very important statement. And then in the purport, the first two sections of the purport speaks about people who are the first, that who are completely deeply engrossed in sense gratification and the desire to enjoy through their senses. And it speaks about, you know, griyamedi life, that they it's not about griyastha life, it talks about a griyamedi life. And then the second part, the disciples of Prabhupada explaining that some people, they want to get rid of the responsibilities and they just want to live freely with the opposite sex. So he talks about the second part. But here the third part is very, very interesting. They are saying that who else will not take, after constant intense indulgence in sense gratification, many times it's a concept which people feel and they believe in, that you do something so much that you feel disgusted about it. Right? I mean, it happens sometimes, right? You ask a person who makes vada pav stall, and you say, would you want a vada? I said, no, roach. Every day I eat vada, I would serve vada pav. He doesn't want to eat. Because you're doing it every day. So, you know, you feel sort of, I won't use the word satisfaction, but almost to the extent, satisfaction leading to a level of disgust, enough of that. So people feel that I want to engage in so much of sense gratification that I feel disgusted. And that's what this section of people has been addressed in this third part of the purport. Whether they feel so disgusted, at the same time they are so unfortunate. That means there are some people who are fortunate. But we're talking about the unfortunate people who have no idea of higher living. They're disgusted with the material world. They realize that this is useless. It is temporary. It is mrityu sarva. Everywhere is death. There is no substance to it. It is simply hollow. And then, because they don't know what is the higher, what do they do next? It is not enough to know the negative. But it is equally important, or rather more important, to know the positive. But it is not the presence of negativity which makes the thing negative, but it is the absence of positivity which makes the things negative. That's very important, because by default, the default setting is everything is positive, because Krishna is positive. Om Purnamada Purnamidam, Purnasha Purnamada, Om Purnamada Purnamidam, what is that? Purnasha Purnamadaya Purnamevashishyate, right? The Krishna is perfect and complete, and everything emanating from Krishna is perfect and complete. So by default, everything is positive because Krishna is the supreme positive. But the absence of positive makes the thing negative. And if you don't know positive, then you will be at the most stuck to the neutral platform. And that's what is explained here. The taking shelter of nothingness. I mean, just imagine, even from the simple English language point of view, we simply use a language saying, I took shelter of nothing. I mean, does it make sense? I mean, forget the real purpose of the word nothing. But even from a simple English perspective, to take shelter of nothing means what? What are you doing? You are doing nothing. But they take shelter of what? Of nothingness. Please understand, while we appreciate, or rather while we are learning as the students of Bhagavatam to appreciate the glory of Krishna, there are so many different ways to understand glory of Krishna. One is by understanding Krishna the way this comes to the 10th canto, by doing the wonderful pastimes that he does. By being Matsya, who grew from a small fish to such a big, gigantic fish, by being Kurma, by so many different things that we already studied in the Bhagavatam. But it's also equally important to understand the glory of Krishna, or glory of Krishna consciousness, and to be grateful and indebted to people who have given us this gift of Krishna consciousness by knowing that what others' processes are. So once you know what other processes are, then you realize, oh, this process is so damn wonderful. I must be so much involved in it. I must feel so grateful about it. Because the tendency is, you do something for a long period, you just feel it is just ordinary. So here, can you imagine, the situation is that there are people, and there are not people, it is the most prevalent religion in the world, Buddhism. Please understand, it is the highest following, one of the highest followings, where people, they realize that Jagan Mithya, it is all useless. And then they say, well, then we should just be taking shelter of nothingness. So that is the third type of people that this purport is talking about. That they will not take shelter of Mukunda. Sukhdeva Goswami is asking, who will not take shelter? And these are the people who will not take shelter of Mukunda. Bhukti, Mukti, Siddhi, Kami, Shakale, Ashanta, Krishna Bhakta Nishakama Ataeva Shanta. Beautiful. Such a beautiful verse from Chaitanya Chaitamrita. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami. In one line, can you imagine, this line is so powerful, it just cuts off 99% of all transcendentalists. 99% of all transcendentalists are attached to what? Bhukti. I mean, Bhukti people are just enjoyers, of course. But the second part, Mukti and Siddhi Kami, Shakali Ashanta, they are not sometimes Ashanta, always Ashanta. And what makes somebody Shanta? Krishna Bhakta. Okay, not just Krishna Bhakta. He didn't say Krishna Bhakta Shanta. It's very interesting. The Krishna Bhakta who is Nishkam. Because there could be Krishna Bhakta who are also Kamis. Lot of desires. And we'll talk about this in the second part of our discussion. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Ata Eva Shanta. So we must understand the great fortune and great fortune of practicing Krishna consciousness. And for most of us, at least for me, I can say it just came so very easy. I mean, literally, I didn't do anything to get it. And maybe that is the story for many of us. Of course, many of you may have really worked hard to get to this level of Krishna consciousness. But for me, it just came. The personality who gave me Krishna consciousness came walking in my house. And he took my hand and make me dance. So easy. So when something is given so easy, and something so lofty, and something so great, you don't realize it. But when you read such purports, for me it was such a revelation. I said, well, I could be one of those people. I could be one of those who don't want to take shelter of Mukunda. Because I'm just taking shelter of what? Of nothingness. What are you doing? I'm taking shelter of nothingness. Very strange concept, isn't it? Doesn't make any sense. But we could be doing that. So that's why, while we are, you know, very soon celebrating the most auspicious Gaur Purnima, while we are trying to glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in varieties of ways, by understanding his activities, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, one understands the transcendental nature, not only my janma, but my karma, my activities. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you see practically his whole life, was to give mercy, or to give the higher taste, what we are talking about, the taste of taking shelter of Mukunda, to people who were completely averse to it. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to South India, there's a beautiful verse which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes. He's saying, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted the inhabitants of South India. And who are they? He's describing, who are these South Indian inhabitants? These people were as strong as elephants. Not literally maybe, many of them are. But they were showing elephants, but they were in clutches of the crocodile of various philosophies like the Buddhist, the Jain and the Mayavad philosophy. With his disc of mercy, the Lord delivered them all by converting them into Vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord. Very interesting, right? That this personality is the South India, and I would say it is not restricted only South India, it is just, is mentioned in the South India right now, but it is all everywhere. The people who are very, very scholarly, very deeply involved in reading various scriptures, not only reading, but having mastery over it. But all of them, and here he is driving the comparison to Gajendra. Prabhupada writes in the purport, that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is drawing the parallel to Gajendra, that how Gajendra was such a powerful elephant. I mean, you can imagine the South Indian scholars were compared to Gajendra, and Gajendra was the king of that place, Trikuta Mountain. He was extremely powerful. So these people were extremely powerful. But when that Gajendra went into the lake, he was caught by the crocodile of time, as we say, or crocodile. And there was no way he could escape. He was just becoming weaker and weaker. And similarly, even though they had scholarship, these people, the South Indian people, and in general of everybody that we are talking about, Mahaprabhu saw that they all are caught by the crocodile of Mayavad, of Buddhism, of Jainism, which is actually
a philosophy to blaspheme Krishna, that it doesn't exist. They were all caught by this crocodile. It is a very precarious situation. Please understand, we are suffering. Gajendra was suffering like anything. He was getting slowly sucked, and people with this philosophy, they get sucked into so much nothingness, into oneness, into sense gratification. They're getting sucked like Gajendra was getting sucked, and that's why Krishnadas Kavitar Goswami is comparing them to the elephants. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with the disc of his mercy, the chakra, and we chopped off the head of the crocodile. So we see in the case of, you know, various examples. Prakashananda Saraswati, very, very wonderful example, appears in the Adilila, 7th chapter of Chaitanya Chaitamrita. Beautiful description. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is taking sannyas, he's just dancing. It's so beautiful dancing. There's a beautiful dance that has been described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his song. The beautiful song, Udilo Aruna Purabha Bhage. Tatai tatai bhajala khola ghana ghana tane jhanjera rola preme dhaladala sonara anga charane nupura baje. What a beautiful description. Tatai tatai bhajala khola, the mrudang is played, jana jana tane jhanjera rola, the kartal is getting played, preme dhaladala sonara anga. So his body is, which is like molten gold, is like a flame dancing. You have seen how flame comes out of a yajna, just comes and dances. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing. Preme dhaladala sonaranga charane nupura baje. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing with his beautiful anklets on his feet. Of course, this description is when he was in Nadia, when he was a grihastha. Of course, when a sannyasi, he was not wearing nupur in his feet. He gave up everything. So, but in this case, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this place Varanasi, which is also a hot news nowadays, many people are going to Varanasi. Many of our politicians are going to Varanasi. It is a very important place. It's become a political hub for those who are knowing what we're talking about. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Varanasi, and the people were just saying, what are you? You are a sannyasi. Why are you not coming and associating with us? We are all Mayavadis. You are also powerful from the Bharati Sampradaya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just smiled, it is said, and then he went on to go to Vrindavan. He didn't really bother to do anything with them. But after he came to Vrindavan, he came back because he wanted to chop off the head of the crocodile, which was heavily capturing not just one or two, but practically everybody in Varanasi. The crocodile of Mayavad was capturing, and he said that, I must do something. You cannot just ignore it, knowing that they are getting captured by the crocodile. How can you do nothing? So he came. And of course, a beautiful story, we all know the story. He came. There was a Brahmana, if I'm not mistaken, a Maharashtrian Brahmana who invited him to his house, and he said, I've called all the other sannyasis to come. And Mahaprabhu Chaitanya usually would not go to these invitations, but he said, because he wanted to achieve something, he agreed. So Prabhupada says, a devotee in Krishna consciousness agrees to do something which is not that way so palatable for him to do, but he agrees in order to do preaching. Of course, with lot of caution and lot of precaution. So Mahaprabhu Chaitanya went. And of course, he was extremely beautiful. I mean, he's Swayam Brahman. But what did he do? Where was he drawing his strength from? And that is what we are going to discuss in the next. The Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, he was not drawing his strength from being God or being Swayam Bhagavan. You understand the concept of drawing strength? We all draw our strength from various things, right? And because we have to survive, we have to draw strength to survive. For example, a tree, if it has to remain erect, it has to draw strength from the ground. If it stops drawing strength, in some time it's going to be weak and going to die. So for every person who wants to survive in this world, we have to draw strength. But the question is, from where do we draw our strength from? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have said, well, I am God, what are you doing? Do you not understand what you are following is absolutely useless? Is absolutely a wrong understanding of God? But he was drawing his strength, and which is also very well covered in this purport. The strength, he was drawing his strength from his humility. the importance of drawing strength from humility. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sat on the in the place where they would wash their feet, and he just sat there, and he said, Prakashana Saraswati said, why are you sitting there? I said, well, I am a most insignificant sannyasi. You all are very great. So Mahaprabhu Chaitanya not only acted, but he was actually feeling. And he said, no, no, please sit with us. And Chaitanya Chaitanya explains that he was parallelly just extracting everybody's attention with his effulgence, because he was emanating that in wonderful effulgence which they all were very, very attracted to. The Pittimab and the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a discussion with Prakashana Saraswati. And to cut the story short, we all know that not only Prakashana Saraswati, but practically 60,000 of his disciples were relieved from the crocodile of Mayavad. Mahaprabhu Chaitanya just took care of them. But the reason why I'm saying this story is, please keep this point into your parking lot, and we'll take this point again. That what did Mahaprabhu Chaitanya drew his strength from? He could have drawn his strength from being God. He could have drawn his strength from being Vedanta Krit Vidya Vidya Cham, the great scholar of the Vedas. He could have drawn his strength from there. That what you guys know. But he was drawing his strength in the beginning to attract them by his humility. And similarly, we see the same type of behavior when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is interacting with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Here is another person who is another person struck by the crocodile. Great scholar. What did there? Six schools of thought. He was expert in all six schools of teaching Nyaya or whatever it was. Very, very great scholar. The guru of the king, Pratap Rudra. Very powerful person. Sarvabhauma took him from the temple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fainted, unconscious, took him. As the story goes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to actual consciousness again because of the kirtan of the devotees. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, well, you need to get trained by me. You are too young. How will you maintain your sannyas? So he said, I will train you. Gopinath Acharya said, well, what can you train? He knew he is God. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say that I am God. What do you mean? So this is the greatness. When you have, you show people that you have not. But when you have not, you keep on showing people that you have. That is interesting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say that I have everything that you're talking about. I have the knowledge. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is explaining Chaitanya Chaitamrita, spoke to him for 7 or 8 days continuously, and Mahaprabhu Chaitanya didn't speak a word, and he said, well, do you understand what I am saying? Or is it going bouncer? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very, very humbly said, well, the explanation of all that you are speaking, the Vedanta Sutra, is as brilliant as the sun. It's very brilliant. I'm understanding everything. But your explanation is completely confusing. I'm completely disturbed. He said, it is disturbing my mind, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. It's like a thick cloud which is covering. And then of course he started speaking, and then he spoke the Atmaram verse. He said, I asked Sarvabhauma to explain. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained 9 different meanings of Atmaram verse. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on to explain, without touching any of these 9, went on to explain 64 more meanings. 64? Is it? Sorry? Something like that, some more meanings. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya realized, oh my God, who is this person? And then he surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But again, the important thing, the reason why we're saying this story, as offering to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as offering to learn something from this story, as offering to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his auspicious appearance day, is where did he draw his strength from? What did he use to attract the hard heart of Prakashana Saraswati or Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? It was his humility. So, what is very important to understand, that we all, as devotees, we would constantly need to draw strength. And that's why we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Nam, Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. Because every day morning it is said that we are trying to inoculate ourselves, we are trying to draw strength from the holy name so that we can survive the onslaughts of Maya. Because she is going to bombard us before as soon as we get out, or rather not even getting out, but as soon as, while we get up, we are getting bombarded. So we have to survive that bombardment of Maya, so we need to get the strength. So we draw the strength from the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Nama bina kichu nahi kovaro chauda bhuvana maje. So sometimes if you don't know something, you ask the expert, and expert is telling that I have considered the whole, you know, universe, and except for the name, there is nothing to be held. Nama bina kichu nahi kovaro, there is nothing but the name. So that we know that the strength is in the holy name, we take the shelter of the holy name. We take shelter of serving the spiritual master. The purport explains very nicely here. That when we serve Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti, the blissful potency, as explained in this verse, under the guidance of the spiritual master, we all get the strength. Chakshudana dilo yehi janme janme prabhu sei. Many of us who are drivers, we see that, I mean, sometimes on the windscreen we have this fog. It is so difficult to drive, but just one wiper, thing becomes completely clear. Or just fog on our glasses. Just one wipe and it goes clear. So that's our life. We are constantly fogged by the ignorance. And then the spiritual master, Jnananjana Shalakaya, with his surgical instrument, operates us, and he removes all the ignorance. So we draw the strength of the holy name, we draw the strength from the spiritual master's mercy, we draw the strength from the Vaishnava Sangha, we draw the strength from Srimad Bhagavatam. Regular reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Nashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu, because when abhadra things are gone, we become very, very strong, because abhadra things make us weak. They're like weeds. They destroy our Bhakti Lata Beach. So we remove the weeds by Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. But many times we also get bitten by the crocodile while we are executing the process of bhakti. Because it's only Krishna Bhakta who is Nishkam. He is the only person who is Shanta. Krishna Bhakta doesn't make you Shant. You could be Ashant because you are not Nishkam. And why, what are the different reasons why we are not Shant, or why we are so disturbed in spite of practicing Krishna consciousness, which is the highest philosophy that one can ever have? Because the sheer reason is, because we are not drawing the strength from where we are supposed to draw. Because the fact is, we will have to draw the strength from somewhere. So many times we draw our strength in Krishna consciousness from our seniority, or from our, you know, number of years that we spend in Krishna consciousness. Many times we hear, and we have also spoken, at least I have spoken, and when we hear, Prabhu, why should I not do this? Do you know how many years I have spent in Krishna consciousness? I'm 30 years old devotee. So what are we doing? Unknowingly, we are drawing the strength from the number of years that we have spent in Krishna consciousness. I am a senior disciple of so and so guru. Don't you understand? Why can't I go to this place which everybody is not allowed? But I can go. Why? Because I am a senior devotee. So you are trying to draw the strength not from humility, not from your process of Krishna consciousness, but from your seniority, the number of years of your Krishna consciousness. And that is what we learn from, there's another person that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the CC, talks about. Doesn't really talk about Sarvam Bhattacharya and Prakashana Saraswati. He also talks about another powerful devotee, Ramachandra Puri. Because CC is containing all types of devotees. And Ramachandra Puri was drawing his strength, with all respects to him. He was a great personality, a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Can you imagine to have godbrothers like Pundrik Vidyanidhi, Jagannath Mishra, Advaita Acharya, such godbrothers, such guru. And same thing, Ramachandra Puri was such a great person. But there's something wrong which happened when he was entangled with his guru. He became arrogant. We all know the story. And then, He wanted respect. Devotees need respect. And it is healthy. You know, we need to be encouraged. And we need to be respected by the Vaishnava Sangam to really continue Krishna consciousness. Please understand, when we are talking about respect, it's not we are trying to get glorification or worship. There's a difference between worship and respect. Devotees need to be respected. I mean, it is encouraging, isn't it, when devotees, you know, respect us? No, not just external respect. But we need encouragement when devotees are happy with us. But Ramachandra Puri, he was trying to draw the, and people were respecting him. But not out of anything else, but the only reason people were respecting because he is a senior devotee. We should listen to what he is saying because he is a senior devotee. He was drawing his strength from his seniority, which is a great danger. If devotees start drawing their strength because they are senior or number of years, that's not in any shastra. There is no shastras explain that you have the strength because of the number of years of practice of Krishna consciousness. Nowhere it is mentioned. So that's very, very dangerous. So Ramachandra Puri teaches us an example of how we should not draw our strength from our seniority, but opposite of that, or rather in the same story, we have Ishwara Puri. Where was he drawing his strength from? From his humble service attitude. Yesterday we heard a small talk by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj at the hospital, Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and he was speaking about the same thing, that you know, for a sannyasi like Ishwara Puri, he was not supposed to serve his guru, you know, in this sort of menial way. But he said, well, I must serve my guru. I'm insignificant. And he became so powerful with this insignificant understanding of himself that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as his guru. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed his feet of Ishwara Puri. That was the power which was generated by his humility. He was drawing his strength, not from his seniority, my dear friends, but he was drawing his strength from his humility. So this is another first danger of drawing the strength from seniority. Can be very, very dangerous. The second thing, if you analyze, we start drawing our strength from our past accomplishments. You know, I did so much 20 years ago. Very nice. It's wonderful that we did something wonderful 20 years ago. But we can't keep on drawing the strength from there. We need to draw our strength from something that we are doing now. Many times, we do something great in the past. But over the years, we may have, not that we will, but we may have become slackened in our Krishna consciousness, and there's not much that we are doing, but we still need to hold on to Krishna consciousness, right? We need to hold on to the Sangam. And where do we start drawing the strength at that time? Well, there's nothing to hold on to right now, because I'm not doing much right now. So what happens? Just like the roots of a tree, when there's no water nearby, it starts growing and going far, far, far away to draw the water. It needs water to survive. So we need to survive. And we don't have something tangible right now to survive. We don't have the internal bliss, the internal satisfaction of practicing Krishna consciousness. We don't have that. Then we need to find it from externals. From respect from outsiders. And how do we draw the strength that time? I did so much. Oh, very nice. So we start drawing the strength. But please understand, my dear friends, that can go on for some time. You can draw your strength from past accomplishments for some time. But then slowly, slowly, you will start becoming irrelevant. Because the time has gone, right? You have done something now. But time has moved. And if you don't move, you will become irrelevant. You have to draw your strength from what we are doing now. And for that, we need to do something now. And when I'm saying to do something, it doesn't mean to do some practical, active devotional service. Krishna may put us in a situation where we might not be able to execute practical devotional service, but we need to draw the strength from our practice of Krishna consciousness, because the chance or the facility to chant Hare Krishna can never be taken away from us. So if we have not developed the satisfaction in chanting Hare Krishna, then we will have to keep on drawing strength from something that we did in the past, which is a great danger. And which we see it happening. But it's very hollow. Many times we hear people saying that, oh, I went to a yatra where only 20 people were there. That's good. Those memories are good to cherish in your heart. But if that memories are spoken too much externally, it doesn't have much meaning. What you did 20 years ago is good, because you need to, you definitely need it. It is a special thing for you in your heart, and you need to cherish it in your heart, no doubt. But you can't draw strength from there. In a negative way. You could draw strength in a positive way with those memories to help you to go on right now. There's a many times we hear people saying the good old days. Well, everything is good in Krishna consciousness. Why only the old days? Even the current days are good. Even the future days are good. What is this good old days concept? It is not right. Oh, there are so much less devotees. I had exclusive association of my Guru Maharaj. What is this? We should be happy to see more people. So this good old days concept or what I did in the past is a dangerous thing. We can't draw our strengths from there. We'll finish it in 2 minutes, 5 minutes at the most. And the third time we will start drawing our strength from is closeness to great people. We are connected to great people. We have close association to great people. That does not make us great. Please understand that. When we start thinking, well, I'm close to this person, I can get things done, you know. So you start drawing your strength from there. And it works. Sometimes. And you feel, well, it works, so I'm powerful. But then sometimes the mercy is taken away. So we can't be drawing strength from being connected to some great person or being connected to some great project. There was a devotee. I mean, in general, we are very fortunate. I don't think, I mean, we deserve, and there are many, many wonderful projects happening all over the world. But people sort of respect the Radha Gopinath temple. So one devotee from Radha Gopinath, many years back, he went to a temple. And, you know, the devotees asked, where are you from? And he's a very new devotee. Quite a struggling person. Where are you from? I said, I am from Radha Gopinath temple. Oh, Radha Gopinath temple. Please come, you give class. This man had never given his class. And they said, because you are from Radha Gopinath, we will not do Bhagavatam class today. We will do CC class. So this person, first time in his life, opened a CC book. He didn't know anything. And it was, he was telling, it was a miserable experience for him. Not that he was drawing the strength from there, but we could draw the strength. Prabhu, you know where I am from? I'm from Radha Gopinath temple. Oh, Radha. So you can start drawing strength from being connected to a great project. A project is great, but that doesn't make you great. The person that you connected is great. Your guru is great. Does not make you great. You need to be great on your own. Don't draw your strength from connection to great personalities or great projects. You must say, I'm in this so-and-so company. Fine, it's a great company, but what about you? Not the right thing to do. We also tend to great, you know, yeah, there's another example that comes to mind is of Duryodhan, right? Duryodhan, however, where was he drawing his strength from? Thus his connection to being the eldest son of the emperor. He was just drawing all his strength because he had nothing of his own. He was drawing all his strength. He could do everything that he did just because he had that connection, he had the power, because he was drawing from there. We can also draw our strength from our material wealth, our opulence, our education, our scholarship. We all are devotees, but you know, I'm a devotee from IIT. Oh, IIT devotee. Very nice. Or I am a devotee, I come in a BMW car. Oh, he comes in a BMW car. I mean, it sounds funny, but please be sure, we do draw strengths from material opulence that we have. Rich people draw their strength from their richness. Scholarly people draw their strength from their scholarship. Because they have opulence. Famous people. So they draw their strength from there. It works in the material world, but does not work in the spiritual life. And last, of course, there are many others, but last, what I want to share, we could draw our strength from our lowliness. The poor me syndrome, typically the Karna syndrome. Injustice done to me. And he drew all the strength constantly from the injustice done to me. Oh, they are not respecting the women. The women could draw strength from just being women. I mean, nothing against women or men. But if you start drawing strength from our apparent inferior position, that is dangerous. We have this whole minority thing happening in the world. They draw their strength because they are minorities and they become so powerful. Practically, you know, half of the seats of colleges are given to minorities because they draw their strength. We are minority. They keep on drawing the strength from there. Similarly, weak in the spiritual practices, we could draw our strength. Poor me. Oh, poor you. And we could start drawing strength from there. So, what I was trying to just drive the point today, that where do we need to draw our strength from? And that the purport explains so wonderfully. We need to draw the strength from, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu drew his strength from. From his, the verse, Trinadapi Suni Chena Taror Eva Shahishna Amanina Mana Dhena Kirtanya Sada Hari. The way devotees can become strong, the way we can draw our strength and fight against the snare of Maya, is not by drawing all the strength from all the places, things that we mentioned. There is a tendency to do that, but we could actually draw our strength from our practice of Krishna consciousness, and is explained in this purport that if we are actually, you know, we get rid of our ego, then we can actually be really happy people because we have no ego. Gopi Bhartulpat Kamalayor Das 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 Anudas. And that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching by his own example, by his own practice, on how he preached and where did he draw his strength from. And that is what we could all draw our strength from, by our humble practice of Krishna consciousness, by our constant remembrance that whatever we are doing is coming by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of our spiritual master, and constantly reminding ourselves that we are simply, you know, not owners, but we are simply, what do you call, caretakers of what we have got. We are simply trustees, that's the right word. We are not owners, we are trustees. And we constantly remember that we are trustees and we have got it on behalf of somebody and somebody else has given us. And we need to use it for the benefit of others. That's what will help us to draw our strength from. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sorry if I have spoken anything much. I'm sure I have spoken much beyond my realization, but that's. I hope that will help me to also survive in Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.